I'd like to preach tonight on a subject which I would call, what did Jesus say? Or what did the Bible say? Amen. I've been reading about Job, and it's a good sign that Richard and Jimmy Collins both mentioned Job. Amen. Today I was making a study of Job, and was reading Adam Clark, what he had to say about Job, and he mentions all the pros and cons, and a lot of commentaries do. Pulpit commentaries like that, it mentions all the critics and all of the negatives, and then busts it right in the middle and says what is the most probable thing. Amen. Seems to me it would be awfully easy if they'd just all look at what the Bible has to say. Amen. Did Job really exist? Or was his the book of Job just Jewish folklore and, as some say, Jewish poetry? I always hate a version of the Bible that turns the plain prophecies of the Word of God into verses like a song. And it seemed to me like it takes away the power of it to me. But a lot of the new versions, you know, they really got it watered down good, diluted good. The great prophecies of the Bible are translated into verses like a song. Well, I realize a song can and should be inspired of the Lord, and prose and poetry can and should be inspired of the Lord. Amen. Amen. But what did the Bible say about Job? Praise God. That's the question. Amen. The fact is, there was in the land of the East a man named Job, because the Bible says it, and that ought to settle it once and for all. Amen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man. That ought to settle it once and for all. Amen. Luke 15 or 16 anyway. Amen. And the Bible says there was, and the Jehovah Witnesses come along and say it was a parable. The liberal comes along and says that Job was just Jewish folklore and that it never existed. Amen. And then Dr. Clark, he preferred, since nobody knows exactly who wrote Job and who was the author of Job, well, let me inject this. The biggest author of the book of Job was Job himself. Amen. Job wrote Job. Amen. Job, some say Moses wrote it. Well, if he did, Job dictated it to him. Amen. While he was out there in 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years being the priest of Midian's son-in-law, amen, and that's where probably Moses run on to Job, because Job didn't die till about the time of the Exodus. So, amen, Moses had 40 years, praise God, in the wilderness, 40 years in that very country that Job lived, to have got the dictation or the manuscript right from Job himself. And all Moses would have had to done by divine revelation would finish it up. Praise God. Amen. Amen. The Bible verifies the fact that there was a man named Job. Both Testaments verifies it. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 14 says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. Amen. That verifies in one of immaculate, immutable prophets of the Old Testament, Ezekiel himself, that there was a man of prayer that could reach God whose name was Job. What does the Bible say about itself? You read the Bible long enough, praise God, and you'll find out that it verifies this canon of Holy Scripture. Amen. It mentions these very prophecies and these great men, and they are vindicated by the Holy Writ of the Bible itself. In fact, there are some books mentioned in this Bible that are not in this Bible. Amen. Some prophecies that are mentioned that are not in this Bible. Amen. And some claim that some of the books of the Apocrypha fulfill the demand, but upon examination of these, some found out that they stood in doubt, and so they, since they didn't know whether they were really the one or not, they didn't get into the Holy Writ. Amen. Didn't get into the canon of Holy Scriptures. I tell you, folks, this King James Version is just awfully reliable. Amen. It is immutable, praise God. That's not to say that the translators never made any mistakes. Anytime man has anything to do with anything, there's always typographical errors and mistakes. But that don't mean that you have to write it off. All you have to do is read around it. And the Bible will explain itself. Amen. You can even read around the mistakes, amen, that the translators made in the Bible. Amen. And find out if they really made a mistake. The New Testament verifies that there was a man named Job. Richard mentioned James, which we believe to be Jesus' own half-brother. Jesus had two half-brothers that wrote two books in the Bible, James and Jude. Amen. They didn't believe till after Jesus rose from the dead. They were not believers on Christ. I mean, the familiarity bred contempt, and they just couldn't believe that this half-brother they was raised with that took the lead in the family and, amen, worked in the carpenter shop was the Messiah. They couldn't believe it. Well, the more familiar we become with men of God and things of God and people of God, we first get saved, we venerate everybody. Man, everything. After we've been around a while and rubbed elbows a while and saw that they were human like everybody else, we had a tendency to lose faith in everything but our own doubts. We lose faith in everybody except our own lack of confidence. We got plenty of faith in our own doubts. Plenty of faith in our own incredulity. Plenty of faith in our own criticism. Huh? I tell you what, if you doubt anything, you ought to doubt your doubts. If you doubt anything, you ought to doubt your own incredulity. If you doubt anything, you ought to doubt your own unbelief. If you doubt anything, you ought to doubt your own criticism. You, glory to God. Amen. Listen to James chapter 5. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Well, I declare, amen, here is a venerable prophet right here in the New Testament telling us that there really was a man named Job that had patience. Hallelujah. Yeah, and we saw the end of the Lord. That don't mean that you can see both ends of Him, the beginning and the end. That means you, if you wait long enough, you'll see how it turns out. And if you wait long enough, you read Job long enough, you'll find that Job came out all right. It ended up all right. The Lord ended it up all right. That's what He means by the end of the Lord. Job waited on God, and it turned out all right. He even kept his home together. How about that? Amen. Had a bunch more kids. Amen. Lived 120 more years thereabouts. Praise God. Amen. And Ooh, his daughters the most beautiful in the land of the east. Had twice as much as they ever had before. Somebody said, I know I'm afflicted like Job. Then praise God, shout a little, because it's going to turn out all right. If we see the end of the Lord like we saw in Job, praise God, there really was a man of prayer, a man of patience, and we've seen the end of the Lord, and that the Lord is very pitiful. That don't mean that you look at God and say, ain't he pitiful? No, that's not what it means. The Lord is very pitiful. That means he's full of pity. Woo! He sees you when you cry. He sees you when you're in pain. He sees your tears. He sees your grief. He knows about broken heart. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. God does. He's very pitiful and of tender mercy. God is. Hallelujah. The Catholics teach that God is so terrible and so awful that we can't approach unto him. That we can't get close to him. God's so terrible. Amen. And one of the priests that wrote their biography, I can't remember his name right off. It'll come to me after I'm done. Amen. I got a 1 MB computer trying to do 64 work. Amen. I need an upgrade, but I'll have to wait till the first resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. And amen. He said that he was so thrilled that when they got the bread transformed into the body of Christ, that he would go along with it in his hand and pray to it. He finally had somebody he could talk to. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. You don't have to wait till some priest transforms that wafer, amen, into the body of Christ, which is all a lie. It's all a fantasy. Amen. You don't have to wait till some priest transforms the wafer into the body of Christ, amen, to cry out to God, no, no, 1,000 times no. You can cry out to him right now. Amen. Because he's of tender mercy. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible verifies that there was a man named Job. And then I read a book several years ago, Anderson's Understanding the Old Testament. It should have been named Anderson's Misunderstanding the Old Testament. Because he said the Israelites didn't cross the Red Sea by a miracle. They waded across. They said where they crossed the Red Sea, it wasn't knee deep. Amen. And that they didn't go through the wilderness because the wilderness was not able to accommodate that many people. Amen. Well, that's a miracle of the whole thing. Amen. God fed them. Made water come out of a rock. Rain manna from heaven every morning. That's a miracle of the whole thing. And that same knee-deep water that they waded across, he drowned Pharaoh's whole army in it. Amen. Well, amen. That is the textbook for Union College in Barberville, Kentucky. Amen. Understand the Old Testament by Anderson. Amen. I mean, everything from Drew University to all the branches is shot through with that. Modern Methodism is shot through with liberalism. Amen. All our colleges and schools are liberal. Amen. Of course, that's why the Nazarenes came out, started the Nazarene Holiness Movement. And that's why the Church of God Holiness came out of the Nazarenes and started the Church of God Movement. And they kept coming out, coming out, coming out, and coming out. Amen. Till there's not very many holiness folks left that are of a Wesleyan descent. Amen. And even the ones that's left, the few that's left, they're fast slipping like some Pentecostals in the Miami Valley. I mean, there was a time when there was 500 churches within a 50 or 100 mile radius here that were holiness churches. Amen. Well, the churches are still there, but they're sure not holiness anymore. Amen. Things have changed. Tell me we're not having a falling away. Amen. Well, glory to God. I'm glad there's some folks that's going up and coming out. There's some folks that's going on with God. Can you say amen? Tell me what there is to go back to. What is there in this world so dear that people will lose out with God to get it? My God, life is so short and eternity so long. I'd hate to live the rest of my days in doubt of the Word of God. Well, that same writer, Anderson, in Understand the Old Testament, he said that the ministry of Elijah and Elisha, somewhere, if I haven't thrown it away, I've still got the book. Amen. I'm not proud of it. I just keep it around and point out once in a while. I'm not too sure that I've kept it around. Amen. But he said the ministry of Elijah and Elisha was Jewish folklore. That it never really happened. None of the miracles really happened. Of course, you know what they're trying to do. They're trying to explain away all the miracles of the Bible. They're trying to explain away the supernatural. Amen. Now, there's a reason for that. When the church begins to wallow in sin, it looks for an excuse to get rid of God. Because you can't feel comfortable wallowing in sin if you know God. One of their teachers in that same school that taught from that book. Amen. One of the boys that went there gave me his book. His textbook is the one I've got. And incidentally, he never quite recovered over the unbelief that was sown in his heart in the college in Knox County, Barberville, Kentucky. Amen. As far as I know, he's still not saved. Still an unbeliever. Came out of Pentecostal folks, Pentecostal background. Still an unbeliever. And his unbelief was reinforced by Union College. That teacher, amen, driving down the road, picked up one of the guys there in Barville I knew. Amen. He rode down the street with him. Beside him was a copy of Playboy magazine. You see, when you begin to live in sin, you got to get rid of God, because God governs your conscience. And there's a real God and a real judgment after a while. You try to get rid of God. Amen. So the super critics say, amen, that Elijah and Elisha never existed. Well, what does Jesus say? Well, you don't have to go very far. Jesus' very first message, right in his own hometown, praise God. And if you say Elijah and Elisha didn't exist, you got to make Jesus a liar. Huh? Praise God. Listen to what he said, his very first message. Amen. Jesus already preached most of it. He said, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, that's Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land, but unto none of them was Elias or Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. That's the stamp. Amen. Praise God. Said it once and for all. The judge, praise God, has wet the stamp and rubber stamped straight from heaven the ministry of Elijah. Amen. All right. Keep reading. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias. That's Elisha. That's translated from the Greek. Comes out a little different in English. Amen. That's Elisha. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And to none of them, and none of them was cleansed, saving Nathan the Syrian. Step. Amen. Forget about it. Throw all the other books in the fire. If you're not going to take the word of Jesus, it's bye-bye Bible. You can't take nobody's word if you can't take the word of Jesus. I mean, if you can't take the word of Jesus Christ, Brother James, in the New Testament, and Ezekiel about the fact that there was a man named Job, amen, who can you trust? Amen. I mean, can you trust the professor at the college? Can you trust the teacher at school? Who would you trust above Ezekiel? Anderson? Amen. Or Ezekiel? Who would you trust above James, for instance? Amen. Would you trust some liberal preacher? Whoever he may be, above James? I mean, James was considered straw to Martin Luther. Well, I got news for you. I'll take James' word against Martin Luther anytime. Amen. I mean, Martin Luther can backslide, but James didn't. Martin Luther may go down the drain, amen, and drag the trappings of Romanism into the Protestant Revolution and slow down the revival, amen, but not forsaking all the trappings of Romanism, amen. Thank God he did came out. Thank God he did discover just shall live by faith. But a lot of folks, because he discovered the just shall live by faith, throw the all works in the trash can. Amen. Oh my, you can't do that either. Amen. Who do you, I went over to Westside Church. There's a fellow over there, Brother Redmond from Arkansas, was preaching, and Brother Redmond had preached for our a camp out at Granite City, and preached for Brother Cook when he was pastoring East St. Louis. I knew him personally. Amen. When he was left East St. Louis and went on out to Belleville and built a new church out there, and I knew folks that continued to come to our campground. Hadn't heard him for a long time. Amen. And Brother Redmond was preaching, and so I decided, well, I'll go hear this Arkansas-er out here. He's preaching on Romans chapter 8. Amen. And he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. He said, if you won't get too mad at me, he said, the period belongs right there. The rest of that verse don't belong in there. And, man, I started getting red behind the ears. And there was all that bunch of liberals over there shaking their head, women, their hair all chopped off, you know. Amen, all decorated out, you know, and the devil stirrups and the works. Amen, is all shaking her head. Amen, amen. And that made me even madder. Amen. So I figured that a fellow from Arkansas, one of my fellow archibillies, ought to know better than that. But I thought I'd get the lowdown straight from him, and I didn't shake hands with half a dozen people. I walked straight to Brother Redmond. Amen. I said, what are you going to do with that rest of that verse? Oh, he said, that belongs in the fourth verse. He said, I thought I explained that. I said, what does it make any difference? Amen. If it's in the fourth verse or the first verse? Why, he said, it makes your salvation depend on works. He said, you believe you're saved by works? I said, yes. I knew that's what he wanted me to say, so I said that. I said, yes. Amen. He said, well, give me scripture and verse. I said, try the whole book of James for a starter. For some reason or other, amen, Brother Redmond couldn't hardly speak to me civilly from there on out. I spoke to him. Amen. I saw him other times, but he didn't like me. I mean, you cross these liberals, they suddenly run out of love. They preach so much love, but I mean, you just cross one of them one time, they don't love you no more. Amen. Amen. It's dangerous, so, to get too far when you know better from the Word of God. He was walking across the road with his lunch in his hand. The car ran over him, killed him not too long after that. Amen. We better be careful about messing with the Word of God. Amen. There's a curse that goes along with taking away from the Word of God. I don't have one thing to do with it. Amen. The Bible carries its own curses, its own anathemas. He said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, Let him be anathema. That is, let him be accursed. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Amen. Let him be anathema. Amen. Well, praise God. We need to watch who we follow. But that nails it down. Jesus stamped the ministry of Elijah and Elisha once and for all in his very first message. Amen. And you know what? It made those folks at Nazareth so mad. They grabbed him and was going to throw him over the cliff. I've been there 6 times to that place where they're supposed to try to float it, throw him over a cliff. Amen. And he gave them the slip. How did he do it? Well, God helped him to do it. Amen. Jesus gave him a slip, praise God, and they wasn't able to kill him because it wasn't his time to die. Amen. And Jesus puts his stamp on the ministry of Elijah and Elisha, praise God, in his very first message. Amen. And then Mr. Anderson had quite a bit to say about Daniel. Amen. He said, since Daniel's written in 2 languages, pray tell me, what does that make any difference? Amen. I mean, Daniel knew several languages, and amen, the Jews that were 70 years in captivity could speak that language. They learned to speak that language, and it was read by Hebrews as well as people that were in captivity and stood the Babylonian tongue. Amen. And since Daniel was written in 2 different languages, he said it was probably a forgery. And then he said, nobody could write so accurately about history unless they wrote it after the history had already taken place. Well, that's a miracle of the whole thing. God speaks prophecy before it happens. That's how you know a real prophet. Praise God. Amen. And he said, Daniel, therefore, was probably a forgery. So he writes off the ministry of Elijah and Elisha. He writes off the ministry of Daniel, or the writings of Daniel. Amen. And says, Daniel's probably a forgery. Well, what did Jesus say about it? Amen. Well, turn to Matthew 24. Amen. Matthew 24. Jesus is talking about the future. And Daniel talked about the future. He's talking about the future of Israel, the future of the kingdom. Amen. And he said in the 15th verse, I'll not take time to do an essay on Matthew 24, but the 15th verse of Matthew 24 is dead center in the middle of the great tribulation. That's the last 7-year period. Daniel 9:27 says, in the middle of the week, he shall break his covenant with Israel and bring in the abomination that maketh desolate. That's what Daniel said. He also had something to say about the abomination of desolation in chapter 12, amen, of Daniel. And so Matthew 24, Jesus comes along and nails it down. Get ready. He's putting the ink on his stamp. Hallelujah. And he said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. That's it. Forget Anderson. Forget the liberal critics. Forget the liberal Bible schools. Forget the liberal commentaries. Forget the liberal preachers. If you can't take Jesus' word for it, throw the Bible away. Jesus endorsed the book of Daniel. Amen. It's in Mark's gospel too. Amen. Matthew and Mark both record it. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Amen. We know by the 13th chapter of the book of Revelations and other scriptures that the abomination is the image of the Antichrist, the man of sin. The image that he's going to give power to speak. And the false prophet is going to point men to that. Amen. And that image, that abomination, is going to plant it between the seas in the holy place. That's between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. Amen. And that's right in Jerusalem. He's going to plant his own image. The Antichrist is not going to be satisfied to reign from Babylon for 7 whole years. He's going to change his spiritual capital right to Jerusalem and set his own image up in the then temple that will be rebuilt. That's going to happen too. There will be a temple for him to set his image up in. James chapter 15, or Acts chapter 15, James talking. Amen. Said God did it first visit to Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And after that he will return and build again the tabernacle of David. He's going to build that temple again. And there'll be a temple for the Antichrist to put his image in. Right in the middle of the last week of God's dealing with Jacob in the time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel makes it clear. 1 week. Read about any paraphrasal you want to that brings it out into a modern understandable time, and they'll say 7 years. A week of years. Amen. Now, amen. There are folks, even in our holiness ranks, that believes that the abomination that maketh desolate was a crucifixion. There's just one great big difference. Amen. They didn't flee to the mountains after the crucifixion. In fact, he commanded them after the crucifixion to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. But he said, then, when the abomination of desolation comes in, then let them which in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which is on the housetop not come down, take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back. Does that sound like tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high? That's what they had to do after the crucifixion of Jesus. After his resurrection, they tarried. They built a church. They started a mighty work in Jerusalem. Amen. It wasn't until close to 40 years later that they fled. And that's because in Luke he told them to. When you see Jerusalem compassed about armies and flee. Amen. And according to history, there were no Christians died in that siege of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. Hey, but we're not in 70 A.D. at the crucifixion. Amen. I mean, we're around 30 A.D., but not 70. Amen. Depending on whether Jesus was born 4 B.C. or 1 B.C. Amen. They have decided he was born 4 B.C., so that still puts it around 29 A.D. or 30. Amen. And so they still had 40 years of probation in Israel. Amen. And the abomination of desolation, they're going to have to leave so fast. He said, don't take anything out of your house. Well, now, Sister Eads has been moving for 2 weeks. Amen. And it has took her a couple of weeks. And if you ask her now, she'll tell you that she still don't have everything in place. Hey, amen. Longest I'd ever stayed before I came here to church was 5 years, and that was a record. And we still had stuff packed after being there 5 years. And we never did unpack. Amen. I mean, there's some things you don't do too fast. Hey, amen. I tell you, you can move a whole lot of stuff in 40 years. Amen. But when the abomination takes place, you won't have 1 year. You won't have 3.5 years. You won't have no time. He said, woe to them that give suck, though woe to them that are great with child. Pray that your flight be not in winter. Amen. Because you're going to have to run fast and run a long way to save your neck. Amen. Not so with crucifixion and with the death of Christ. He said, don't depart from Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Amen. A good friend of mine sat at my table several years ago. Amen. And said the Lord showed him that the abomination of desolation was a crucifixion of Christ. I explained to him then how that couldn't be. I explained to him how you couldn't kill Jesus at the end of the 69th week and kill him in the middle of the second week both. He said, well, I can see that. Or 70th week both. He said, I can see that. 2 years later, amen, he said, I really believe the Lord showed me. Sat in the same place, same table, amen, preaching in this pulpit. Said, I really believe the Lord showed me that the crucifixion is an abomination of desolation. Now listen, folks, everything people says the Lord showed me, you better back it up by the Word of God. Because sometimes in our study, we get blind spots. We're just human. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll get off on a tangent. That's not too bad because you're studying to get off on a tangent if you'll admit it after you learn better. But after you teach people your tangent and get them off on the same tangent with you, and then you learn better and you got too much pride to tell them you're wrong, then you got a whole new movement started. A whole new division in the church. Amen. They used to say in the Depression times, you can hear anything but money rattling and meter frying. Amen. Wait till you hear the money rattle. Wait till you smell the meter frying. What did Jesus say about it? That's what makes a difference in the long run. What Jesus said about it. Amen. And Jack Stewart used to coin the phrase... Amen. I don't know what happened to Jack Stewart. I don't know if he's still anything or not. Amen. I don't know if he's going to live or not. But anyway, Jack Stewart was quite a preacher. He could preach 2 solid hours and still have plenty of stuff left to say. Amen. But one of his favorite quotes was from the Fool's Scrapbook. He said, somebody said it, therefore it must be true. Now, I'm not going to say that's a bunch of baloney out of respect for good baloney. Amen, because good baloney is better than that. Amen. I like baloney. Sometimes I like baloney better than steak. And some folks finally got the idea that it was better than steak, so they raised the price till it's just right along with steak. Good baloney is. Amen. Woo! Some things you got to change with the times. I used to say baloney, or that's a bunch of baloney. No, it ain't that good. Keep the baloney and throw the other stuff away. Amen. Balderdash. Nonsense. If Jesus said it, I believe it. And it's so. Can you say praise God? Praise God for what Jesus said. Praise God for what the Bible has to say about itself. Amen. Don't stop short listening to some man that said, God showed me this. Read the Bible. And it'll bless your life. God will honor you. Amen. And you'll not come under the anathema curse. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't know about that book. Hey, you don't love Jesus no more than you love this book. If you don't love this book, you don't love Jesus. Well, I believe in God just as much as anybody. Amen. A fellow I visited down here on Fair Avenue, his daughter told me, I want you to go visit my dad. And I went and visited him. Amen. Anytime anybody asks me to go, I'll go. Anybody asks me to come, I'll come. Anybody asks me to visit somebody, I'll visit them. So I'll go to the hospital anytime, day or night. If they call on me and tell me they want me to visit, Trouble is, a lot of folks expect me to read their minds, and I ain't got that much. Amen. You got to tell me. You got to call me. You'd be at the hospital and be back home nowadays, and I don't even know you's there. Amen. You got to call me. I went to see him. Amen. And I began to talk to him about getting saved, and he said, I'm not lost. I says, do you believe the Bible? He said, I believe the Bible just as much as anybody. I said, well, the Bible says you're lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, I'm not lost. I said, do you believe the Bible? Yes, sir, I believe the Bible just as much as anybody. He didn't do it. If you don't believe the Bible, amen, you ain't got any leverage on anybody's life. If every man's doing what's right in his own eyes, you can't help him. All you can do is live a life before him. Amen. God bless you. Stand, let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us, Father. Make us a blessing, Lord, I pray. Touch lives, touch hearts, touch souls. I pray in Jesus' name, thank God. Lord, touch lives, touch hearts, touch bodies. Touch those that are sick among us. Heal your sheep, Lord. And bless this poor shepherd as he tries to tend these sheep. Oh, Lord God. Help me, Lord, to be what you'd have me to be. And help us all to walk in the light of Jesus. In his word, amen. Jesus' name, as they sang, we invite you to an altar of commitment, to an altar of prayer. Amen.